scripture reading. Today's scripture is found in Isaiah 32, verse 18, and it says, "My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen."
The recording has started.
Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads for a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for once again to have an opportunity to celebrate the gift of eternal life through the person of Jesus Christ. We ask you please to speak to our lips, to our hearts. Allow us, Lord, to always to keep our eyes focused on the person of Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate life today, Lord, as we celebrate life as eternal gift to all of us, allow us to understand, Lord, the importance of home. What is the meaning of home in our lives? And what is the meaning of you calling us to be part of your home, your family, the body of Christ? We ask you, please, to give us understanding. Give us the ability, Lord, to follow the steps and the direction and the guidance that you provide us. In the name of Christ, we ask those blessings, Lord. Amen. Church family, we have seen on the news, on the print press, everywhere, the title for the message today is Stay at Home Order. We have received from our governor, from our state, we have received from our federal government, we have received from the health, the people responsible for the health in our country, in our own world. This expression has been used in many other countries in Europe, also in India and South America, all over the world, where there is this fear that out there is something out there killing people. There is something out there destroying people. So here comes the order, you stay at home. The question is that comes to our mind, why home? Why the order to tell us to go and stay at home? The order is implying there is safety at home. That's what the order implies. You stay at home because home is the safest place for you to be. If you go out, not only you are exposed to the danger, but you become a carrier. You become an instrument of destruction. So stay at home. And that is the intent of the order that was given. After a while, people got tired of staying at home. They want to go back to their daily things that they used to do. And so some people start to protest in front of government houses and claiming we need to be able to go back to normal. But the government insists, you did not go out yet. Stay at home. Stay at home because safety is at home. It is the safest place for you to be. It's at home. We chose this title for today, and we like to consider first, let's define what home is, at least in the dictionaries that we have, in English dictionaries. That's how they define home. For example, home as a noun. This is what a dictionary that I look at says. Home as a noun is a place where one lives permanently, emphasis on the word permanently, especially as a member of a family or a household. Let me give you an example. It was 19 when he left home and went to college. So in this case here, home is a noun. Now, let me, another definition is an adjective, noun as an adjective. It says it's relating to the place where one lives. Here's a sentence, an example. I don't have your home address. So in that way, that sends home qualifies address, what type of address. Also in sports, those of us that like sports and we are missing the games because there's no games going on, but we always hear the expression, oh, this team is playing on their own home turf, which means they will have an advantage. And what is the advantage of playing at home? Oh, you have more support. You have more people at your side. You'll be carried with emotions of being supported, of being loved, and everybody will be lifting up your name and will be crying your name, says, I'm with you. That is the advantage of a team to play at home. So the Sanders that we have as an example is their first home game of the season will be, and they describe that. Also, home as an adverb, to or at the place where one lives. Here's a sentence to as an example. What time did he get home last night? And finally, home as a verb. Yes, as an action. Home can be also an action. A sentence that will exemplify this, it talks about the birds when they fly, when they homing to their summer nest grounds. Like, say, 1,000 geese homing to their summer nest grounds. Homing becomes a verb also. Another question, what is the true meaning of the home for you, my brother and sister? To you, young person who is listening to this message today, to you that is just 10 years old, 11 years old, what is home for you? Or for you that have already some sign of wisdom in your head, your gray hair, what does the word home mean for you? To each one of us, home may have a different meaning. To a true follower of Christ, home means a secure, cheerful place where we are respected and where we are loved. Home means an enjoyable place where we can rest, where we can laugh, where we can learn, where we can grow. Home is an ideal place to feel free and to feel comfortable to be ourselves. A place that we don't have to pretend to be somebody else. A place where we are not criticized for being ourselves, but we are accepted to be ourselves. We are encouraged to be ourselves. It is a place where our dreams come to existence and where our best memories are created in a daily basis. It is where hope always defines the reason for one's tomorrow. Home is the place where we build tomorrow. Home is the place where we always, always understand that we are special. It doesn't matter if your home is big, is small, rich, or poor. It is home, and that's what it counts. But that home is very fragile if the Lord Jesus is not the one who put up the foundations of that home. Only the Lord can build a home that will last forever. Only the Lord can build a home that goes through any pandemic, any disaster. And as we know as believers on the Bible, that days are coming when we will know the value of staying at home. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read this in three different versions. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. First, I'm going to read from the New King James Version, which says, through wisdom, a house is built. And house here means home. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Three things: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge it takes to make a real home. Now, contemporary English version, the same text of Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Use wisdom and understanding to establish your home. Let good sense fill the rooms with priceless treasures. And finally, Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Now in a New Century version, I like this one, is my favorite one version for this text. It says, it takes wisdom to have a good family. And it takes understanding to make it strong. It takes knowledge to fill a home with rare and beautiful treasures. What a beautiful text. Psalms 127, verse 1. I'm reading from the contemporary English version. Over here it says, without the help of the Lord, it is useless to build a home. Let me repeat. Without the help of the Lord, it is useless to build a home or even to guard a city. Why? It's obvious. Without the Lord, no home will last. It doesn't matter how sophisticated your house is, no matter how kind of materials you use to make it your house. But if the Lord is not the one who builds it, your house may stand, but your home will collapse. Proverbs 22, verse 6, New Living Translation. Direct your children unto the path, the right path. And even when they are old, they will not leave it. Now, we always use this text when we have a children's dedication. And today, we all children. Today is our dedication to the Lord. So it is, I'm going to use this for us to emphasize this fact. Direct your children to the right path. Let me change a little bit by saying, raise your children in the right home, in a God-built home. And even when they are old, they will always be connected with home. They always will remember home. They always will have home inside of them, no matter where they go. Proverbs 12, verse 7, New Living Translation. The wicked die and are gone, disappear. But the family of a godly, that remains forever. That one stands firm. Proverbs 14, verse 1, New Living Translation also. A wise woman, ladies, write this down. This is special for you. Proverbs 14, verse 1, New Living Translation. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. A woman here is also a symbol of a church. So a wise church is built solid on the Lord, but the foolish try to build her house and end up tearing it down because it relies on their own understanding. Like in Mark 7:7, when Jesus Christ says, in vain they worship me because they are following traditions of man. That is a symbol of a woman that tears down their own house, their own home. But then in Revelation, we see this beautiful, pure woman, the remnant, that is standing still after all the storms of this world. She stands still because she is the home, she is the house, she is the woman that is wise, because that was the one who Jesus Christ built. You can see also in Matthew 25, when Jesus Christ talked about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish ones. Yes, the wise woman builds her home, but the foolish woman Esther is down with her own hands. The script that we, Brother Marcus, read for us today, the script for today, Isaiah 32, verse 18. I'm reading for the New Living Translation. It says, my people. Who is my people? The ones that live in my home. That's what Jesus Christ said. Those that I have in my home is my people, only. Because they are with me, they will live in safety. Quietly at home. Oh, isn't it beautiful to have a home that everything is quiet, peace of mind? When we come out of the noisy world and we come home and we can have some quiet and peace, where there is no guilty, there is peace. Where there is love, there is peace. When there is understanding, there is peace. Where there are a place where a place where I'm embraced and I know that I'm accepted, there is peace. A place where I can rest. They will be in rest, says the verse. Now let me make another application. In Mark, this will sound a little bit strange for some of you, but take a moment and you will be able to understand my application. In Mark 10, verse 8 and 9, New Living Translation. Mark chapter 10, verse 8 and 9, New Living Translation. It says, verse 8, and the two are united into one. Emphasis on the one, okay? Since they are no longer two, again, but one. Verse 9. Let no one split apart what God has joined together. Now, when we read this, we think about a man marrying a woman. We think about marriage. But I'd like to call your attention to the fact that this is also you can apply this, and we must apply this, on the marriage of the bride and the groom. The bride being us and the groom being Jesus Christ. We are a body of Christ. We are united by baptism as we receive the righteousness of Christ. We are invited into become one with Christ. As Christ prayed in John 17 to his disciples, he says, Lord, I pray that they become one with me and I'm one with you. The goal is to become one. One home. One place for us to remain forever on the arms of Jesus Christ. He says, let no one split apart what God has joined together. My brother and sister, you are part of the body of Christ. And this is not your of your own. It is Christ who went and grabbed you from the hands of the enemy and brought you inside of the home. And if you stay in the home, you stay protected. As long as you stay with him, you stay as part of his body, you'll be safe. That's why the title for the message today is Stay at Home. That home, I'm not talking about this physical a place that you have an address to it. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the remnant. It's like if Noah would be here today and we were inside the ark, he would tell us, don't go out, stay in. Because outside is destruction, outside is death, stay in. So the invitation for you today, I want you to tell you that Jesus Christ wants you to stay in. Forever, where there is safety, where he is present, where there is holiness, where there is glorification, where sin will not gonna be able to penetrate. Sin will not reach out for you if you stay in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you stay connected with the body of Christ, one with Christ. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. I'm reading now from the New King James Version. For as we have many members, but in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually, members of one another. Brother and sister, because we are part of the same body, because we are part of the same family, and the head of our family is Abba himself. Jesus is the head of our church, as we read in Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. We need to lift each other up, encourage each other. We are connected by phone, but there is something else stronger than that that connects us. We are a family. We are at home. And we are asked by the head to stay at home, no matter how much out there, no matter what is going on out there, you stay at home, because home is where safety is. Home is where you'd be finding rest. It is at home that we share the same bread, the bread of life. It is at this home that the door itself says, I am the door. It is in this home that the head tells us, Abba tells us, I am the light. I am the living water. I am everything that you need. I am the one who provides. Stay at home. And he meant the body of Christ. No matter how much temptation you receive, I'm speaking especially to the young people this morning. No matter how many invitations you receive to go out and experiment something, don't expose yourself to the risk that you may be taken away from this home, the body of Christ, and you may never be able to find a way back home. We don't want you to become spiritually homeless. We want you to stay at home. Stay connected with the body of Christ. Christ died, and with his own blood, he purchased you the right to you into his family. So stay home. It is his commandment. Matthew 7, verse 24. I'm reading from the contemporary English version. Anyone who hears and obeys these teachings of mine, Jesus says, is like a wise person who built a house on a solid rock. You know what that rock is? The rock of the ages. Peter calls it the cornerstone, the stone that holds the whole house together. That stone is Christ. We are at home. And our home has been established by Jesus Christ himself, has been purchased by Jesus Christ. This home is a place of forgiveness. This home is a place for patience. This home is a place where love is. John, First John chapter 4, verse 16. First John chapter 4, verse 16. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. We have known, and by the way, when the Bible talks about known, John used that in many, many times. To know is the same kind of feeling, the intimacy between a couple. It says, we have known and have believed the love that God has for us. It is that love between the bride and the groom, the body of Christ and the head, which is Christ. It says, God is love. Just a pause here. Children, that's why I tell you that it's not right to say, I love food, I like potato chips, I like this. We don't like food. I mean, forgive me, I said, we don't love food. Oh, I love the chip potato. No, you cannot, because God is love. You can like those things, but you cannot love them. And those who remain in love remain in God. Again, The word remain here says those who not stay at home, those that stay in a family, stay in love, will stay with God, because God is love. And where there is God, God, there will be home. Matthew 24, verse 13. Matthew 24, verse 13, New Living Translation. But the one, again, I emphasize on the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who stays at home will be saved, because home is where safety is. Stay at home, my brother and sister. In conclusion of this message this morning, I'd like to share with you an illustration. A Seventh-day Adventist young Christian railroad engineer was explaining to a group of his fellow workers about his belief on the second coming of Christ. They were curious about his faith, and so they asked him. And so he decided to explain to them why he believed that Jesus Christ was coming and coming soon. So they are very attentive and they listen to him. So he said, I can begin to tell you what the Lord Jesus means to me. In him, I have hope that is very precious to me. Let me explain my hope. He says, many years ago, as each night I neared the end of my run, I would always let out a long blast with the whistle, just as I would come around the last curve. Then I would look up at the familiar little cottage, a little house on the top of the hill, and there my mother and my father would be standing in the doorway waving to me. After I had passed, they would go inside and say a short prayer. They would say, thank God, Benny is home safe again tonight. This every single time, without no exception, every single time throughout the years. Well, they are sleeping on the Lord right now. And as I pass by, they are no longer there. No one is there now to welcome me home anymore. But someday, when I have finished my earthly run, our Lord will return and my eyes will be opened, and I shall see my precious mom and my precious dad is standing there. And I can imagine them turn to each other and saying, thank God, Benny is here. Dear brothers and sisters, stay at home. Home is where safety is. If the Lord is the one who built your home, it is the safest place that can ever be, and it will last throughout eternity. Christ has one invitation for you this morning, and that invitation we find in John 13, verse 12 or verse 17. Many people in our denomination and some other denomination don't take very serious this part of the communion service. And I said this part of the communion service. This is not a separate part of the communion. This is part of the communion. You'll find in John 13, verse 12 to 17, and I'm reading from the New Century Version, which says, when he, Jesus, had finished washing there his disciples' feet, he put on his robe and he sat down again. He asked his disciples, Do you understand what I have just done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that is what I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash each other's feet. You must. I did this as an example, so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, my dear servants, my dear disciples. A servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, and now you do, you will be blessed if you do them. In this time, I invite all of you to consider what Jesus is trying to teach us. The foot washing is a form for us that have been baptized, who has given our lives, surrender our lives into baptism, to renew our vows. So as you go through the foot washing, think about what God has promised you and what he will be delivering to you as you remain in a home, as you remain as part of his church. And this time,
good morning, church family. I will be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. And the Apostle Paul tells us, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'"
Happy Sabbath, church family. This is Brother Clifford Kisaka. Before we dedicate the elements to our Lord, I'd like to thank our God for his mercy, especially this period of our history. I'd like to thank him for the peace and fellowship we're enjoying here at the Vista Church. The Jews are about to partake to present the blood of Christ, which was shed for our sins. In addition, the bread represents the body of Christ, so we might have life. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, "The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Please join me in kneeling as we dedicate this service to our living God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again this morning. We thank you because your blood, which was shed for our sins, and your body, which was crucified, so we might see life. Dear Vista Church, Pastor has spoken this morning. Stay at home. Lord, that message may reflect through around the world. We pray for a church member. We thank them so much for keeping the faith. We thank our young people for remembering to stay at church. Now, as we bless these elements, Lord, may it renew our body, renew our strength, and also our hope. Lord, thank you so much for this occasion. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. This time, I'd like the priest of the home to be aware that God has put you in that place to literally represent Him. This is the time as a family that we share those elements, and has a very special meaning to us because we have been ordered to remain in Christ. As we partake those elements, we need to understand how important, how great is the fact, what an awesome privilege that the Lord chose us. And the Bible says when we were still His enemy, He chose us. He gave us life so we could have life, eternal life. I can hear the sounds of the voice of Jesus Christ saying, I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. I am the good shepherd. You can see Him with His arms open as He invites you to come home. You can imagine Him saying, you are part of my body. You are part of my family. So today, when we take the bread, and we understand, as He said, as He turned to His disciples, His family, His eternal family. You see, we may have blood relations with other people, but those that will stay in this family forever is really our family. Those are really our family. And when we take this bread, as Jesus told His disciples, He says, this is my body. It's a symbol of my body that has been broken in your behalf. He asked us to take and eat so that we all can be part of one body, which is the body of Christ. Because you're a family, because you have been redeemed, and because you accept the sacrifice of Christ, I ask you, take this bread and eat. This is the body of Christ that has been broken in your behalf. And after He ate the bread, He took the cup. And as we do here in Vista, and those of you that are blessing us with your participating with us, we have a little custom, a tradition. We are reminded of the Jewish people who throughout centuries, they were always persecuted, and they have to celebrate the Passover with their closing doors. So people were always concerned, because if anybody knew that they were celebrating the Passover, they would know that they were Jewish and they would be suffering persecution. But even with the risk of their own lives, they will open the door a little bit, because they said, we want Elijah to come in to participate with us. And so they will raise the cup. And they will say to each other with tears in their eyes, but tears of joy, because the hope that was still in their hearts were the same hope that we have today. They will raise their cups and they say, next year in Jerusalem. And they will take the cup and drink. Brothers and sisters, we ate of the same bread. We drink of the same blood. We are one in Christ. We are one family. Please stay at home. Home is where safety is. Young people, don't leave Christ's home. Stay at home, because that's where safety is. And may the Lord, when He comes, He shows you the place that he's been prepared for you. For ages, he has been prepared that place for you. We have a commitment to remain a family. And this time, I hope that each one of you make a commitment. I'm going to open my invitation to all of you to make a promise this moment. Because there is a mute on the phone, we cannot hear you. You can hear yourself, and Jesus Christ can hear you. I'll make a commitment that by God's grace, I will not leave home. I will stay at home until the head of my home comes to take me to the everlasting home. I hope that this moment you're making the same promise, the same commitment before God to his honor. You say, Lord Jesus, thanks for bringing me home. I'm part of the remnant. I'm part of the true church. I'm part of the body of Christ. Help me to stay at home, to stay safe, no matter what kind of turbulences are out there. Give me the blessing to stay at home. I'd like at this moment to ask you, please, to bow your heads for a benediction. Now may the Lord bless you with the commitment to stay at home, with the ability to understand how wonderful is the forgiveness that God provides you. May the Lord dress you with his holiness. May the Lord cleanse you as his own property with the blood of Jesus Christ. May the Lord allow you to shine the everlasting light that Jesus Christ is. May the Lord shine into you and out of you. May the Lord shine above you and in front of you and behind you, beside you, so that you will reflect the light and the glory that he has dressed you with, which is the justification by faith through Jesus Christ. We ask those blessings upon you because you are family. Because you are part of our home. In Jesus Christ, we ask, and we know that we have received. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, we will have our closing hymn. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Danya Tayag. Please join us as we sing a prayer called God be with you till we meet again. First, second, and third stanza. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wing protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils they confound you, put his arms unfailing round you. God. seas. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. Amen.
But now, being made free from and having become servants of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. Our mission as God's people is to put God first, to serve others, and to make disciples. And that's the way we'll have God in our lives always. God be with you until we meet again.